This pandemic has required people all over the world to do their part to stop the spread of the virus by staying home. For some, this has brought families closer together. But for others, this mandatory closeness has driven them apart. Some family law firms are predicting that Canada will see an increase in separation and divorce in the coming months. Joining me now to talk about how the pandemic has impacted divorce rates and how you can best plan for the financial changes that are pretty much inevitable if that's the path you walk is Dilys DeCruz. She is Vice President of Meridian Wealth. Hello there.
Hi, Bruce.
Such a cheery topic. Woo! This is where we begin our show. But here's how I rationalize it. I rationalize it because it's relevant to many of our listeners. It's relevant to their friends and family so that they have some empathy for what this means. And it's also a bit of a cautionary tale. It not to say that you stay in a marriage just because detangling your finances is going to be so much work, but it's not an insignificant element of the whole algorithm here. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely.
Is this a headline or is this a fact? Do you believe that we will see an increased number of divorces because of what has been going on in the last 7 months?
Well, that's a great way to position it. So I did my homework as well because I had read that there was, you know, an increase about 20 to 30% with family lawyers. And one of my family members, a relative of mine, is a family lawyer. And she said it was upward of 30%. And wow. I've most recently seen an interview with another family lawyer who said they saw it up to 50%. And interestingly enough, predominantly from women.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Now, we're going to, there is a whole bunch of legal issues related to divorce. We're not going to talk about that. Our focus is going to be on the financial piece.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about the specifics. But first, by way of context, this is a road you know well. You have navigated a divorce yourself. What is the number one thing you learned personally on the financial element of that experience?
Yes. So I like to share this because I have been in financial services in the industry for over 30 years. And when I was going through my divorce 10 years ago, you would think that I first thing I would have done was turn to a financial planner, but I didn't. And I am here to say if I was to do things again, one of the very first things I would do is meet with my financial advisor just to get perspective, just to understand what are the things I need to do and just get that guidance. And by doing that, it helps you navigate and it helps you feel better about the things that you have to do with somebody by your side doing it. So number one thing I learned, if I was to rewind and do it over, I would meet with my advisor way sooner and talk to them at the beginning of the process.
There are a number of elements. We're going to kind of race through to cover them all, but I want to start with the investments because it's not only what might be in an RRSP or a TFSA, there's also the complexity of pensions. If one half of that relationship has a pension, what is the simple way to articulate how the collective nest egg gets distributed in divorce?
Right. So without going in again to the legal aspects of it, you know that you're going to walk out with a 50-50 share. And so if you have a pension, and this is why it's really important to talk to an advisor early, that pension will get valuated and that will be part of your balance sheet. And a lot of, you know, we're talking about women, but men, I mean, you don't know what the value of that is, and that adds significantly to your balance sheet. So early days, that's something you'll want to find out as to what is the value of my pension and what are the options there.
Navigating the housing piece is hard, in particular in major centers in this country, because it's not so simple as, oh, it's fine, I'll just buy you out. Because in a lot of places, the appreciation of homes and the cost to buy a secondary home is onerous is the understatement of the year. So mm-hmm. How does an advisor help clients navigate that piece of it?
Well, I think you have to definitely look at your cash flow. So there's so much that goes along with that. And like you said, it's just not easy to say, okay, well, we'll sell this matrimonial home. I'll take my share and then I'll go buy a new house. You know, you have to, it's two parties now where you're not pooling money. So sitting with an advisor will help you understand, okay, what will I end up with? and can I afford to buy a house? You know, the whole thing on, you know, what's my credit rating? Do I have a credit rating? Will I be able to get a mortgage? Will I be able to service that debt? All these questions come into play. And that's why, you know, sitting down with somebody who can methodically go through and ask you these questions before you just assume you can, is really important. And on the flip side, by the way, you know, you might be really nervous that you can't, and they might say, no, you're in good shape. Yeah. So I think it's really, these are all the questions that come. You know, you're so used to living in a household sharing expenses. And this is where, you know, the women part of it comes in, is many women will show up at a lawyer and not know what their cash flow is, not know how much you're spending on mortgages. And so that's why I'm here to say, make sure that you're informed whether or not you're going through a divorce. It's just really important for women to stay informed about, you know, their day-to-day finances.
And the dynamic empirically is that women make less than men, not always, but statistically that is the reality. So there's an additional burden that may connect to the gender of the person in the couple. Talk a bit more about that, and what I have a daughter. I have a particular affinity and investment for gender issues that I didn't have before I was a parent of a daughter. What additional advice would you provide to women walking this path?
So I actually provide this advice to all women. Whether or not you're walking this path, is definitely stay involved with the finances. And so, you know, the interesting stat, by the way, is you said, you know, many women make less than their husbands, which is true, but that number is climbing, where 30% of women are the breadwinners. So that's good news. But that's a different story. But I think what happens is when women get married, and it's not a form of education or knowledge, is they will give up their involvement just because maybe it's not interesting to be part of doing your finances. And, and you know, if your husband likes to do it, you say, okay, honey, you do it. So it's really important for women to understand, you know, what is the cash flow? What is our debt? You know, what is our mortgage? What are our payments? What is my credit score? Do I have a credit score? You know, I have a story of a friend who's been married for 30 years, only to find out, and now she's not going through a divorce, but she found out when she went to get a credit card, she didn't have a credit score because
her was on a family card.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So these are the things that are so important, and even more so that if you are considering going through a divorce or separating, this is really important information to have.
How do you think about time? So some couples move to disentangle and move very, very quickly. Others don't and do very, very little, and it's years before things are resolved. And every dynamic is different. Every situation is different. But what counsel would you have on how fast or how slow to move?
Well, you know, that's a really great question too, especially right now with COVID. And I've been listening to a lot of family lawyers, and one specifically, a collaborative family lawyer, they're seeing more and more couples staying in that matrimonial home longer, just because the environment, you know, people are concerned about their jobs. They're not sure now's the time to sell. And so I think that's a personal decision. You know, on the flip side, I've talked to lawyers where, you know, the people are living together and, you know, they can't wait to get out because, you know, it's just too much friction. So that is a personal decision. And it also depends on the type of lawyers you have. If you're in a collaborative situation, you might find just riding through the situation now is not the right time for both of you to leave and split up and sell a house. So it really depends on the couples and how the divorce is going. Is it amicable? Can you talk through this? But there are more and more options, and people are staying in the matrimonial home longer just for financial reasons and uncertainty.
We are out of time, but I'm going to throw one more tip in there, and you can just agree, because I bet you're going to agree. And that is, with lawyers, you want each member of the soon-to-be separated couple to have representation. With financial advisors, I would want each individual to have that perspective. And, you know, that may mean onboarding an additional person here, but that second objective view could be really helpful. Do you agree?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And if you've both had the same advisor, it's not a bad idea at all to get a second opinion.
Dillis, thank you very much.
It's always great.
Dillis DeCruz, Vice President of Meridian Wealth. Some of the things to think about from the financial perspective of going through a divorce.